one's a hit.
So what do you think we're talking about today? Nope. We were talking about money until Friday afternoon. And in fact, we prepared that video to talk about money. We're rounding out our Go Jesus Your World series. And last week, we hit time, the greatest treasure that you have to offer, that unreplenishable gift. And I thought we would, you know, pull in the last slot talking about how you can offer your money to God. And then God does this funny things to preachers sometimes. He just gets a hold of you and says, nope, that's not what you're going to talk about today. So we are shifting gears so y'all all can breathe a collective sigh of relief. The preacher is not going after your pocketbooks today. Visitors can say, oh my gosh, they don't just talk about money in this church. We are actually not going to talk about money at all. Instead, I'm going to talk about something almost equally as awkward. And see, I think God has a funny sense of humor. Hit him with the, we're going to talk about your money. And then when we back off that and you're relieved, when I say, I'm going to talk about you, Jesus, in your world by sharing your story, it doesn't sound as bad as by sharing your money, right? Maybe. And so today we're going to talk about the life-changing power of sharing your personal witness of what God is doing and has done for you. And if you've spent any time in the Bible, you know that the Bible is a grand story, a narrative, a big testimony, if you will, of all the ways that God Jesused our world. In John 5:11, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And so the life-changing testimony of Jesus Christ is the story of the Bible. And it's painful, crazy, kind of wild sometimes. It's real and brutally honest. The Bible does not whitewash the story of us and God. The Bible doesn't kind of clean up the act and then present it. It presents everybody's story within the biblical account just the way it is, in pure authenticity. And so if you're thinking maybe my story is too embarrassing or I'm not good enough, you need to think again. Have you read your Bible lately, the stories of God interrupting people and interacting with people? Did you know Noah was a drunk and Abraham was too old and Jacob was a liar and Leah wasn't the prettiest girl on the block and Joseph was literally abused by his family and Moses had a terrible speech problem and Gideon was terrified and Samson was a womanizer and had rock and roll hair, and Rahab was a prostitute, and Jeremiah was too young for his calling, and David was an adulterer, and he was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was widowed. Job was bankrupt. Andrew lived in his big brother's shadow. Does anybody live in their big brother's or sister's shadow? Peter denied Christ right when Christ needed him the most. Who else? Flip. All the disciples fell asleep while praying when Jesus needed him the most. And Martha worried about everything. And by my name, I am a Martha. The Samaritan woman was divorced, not one time, not two times, lots of times. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was a, get this, Christian killer. And Lazarus was once dead, but yet he was found. And so even in all these crazy places and stories, these individuals tell the story of Christ's redeeming love in their life. And so the biggest thing that you can offer as a personal witness is just to be honest about really where you are in your life, or maybe where you've been in your life, and the redemptive power of Jesus Christ transforming that mess into a message. And so today, I just want to challenge you for a second. Have you ever thought about using your personal story as a witness tool to others, as a way to go Jesus your world? It doesn't cost you much, except maybe a little bit of pride, you know, to suck it up a little bit. You've got to share a little bit of backstory that you maybe not be proud of. But there is a power in offering a witness of what God has done in your life and through your life. And so I want you to imagine, if you will, if you were in the crowd with Paul. Paul is a famous missionary who shared his story. And when he first started out as a Christian, he had a lot of baggage. He was a Christian killer, literally. People listening to him gather and hear his story knew of people he had murdered that were a part of the way. And this is what Acts 22:3-5 tells us about that. He's a Jew, born in Tarsus, brought up in this city. He studied under this famous person. He was thoroughly trained in the law and the ancestors. He was zealous for God, as many of you are today. He's telling this story. I persecuted the followers of the way to their death. Okay, people in the Christian church that he's preaching to, their friends, some of them, he had persecuted them to death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. Okay, he is not someone that you think would want to be sharing the story of all that God has done because he has a really bad backstory. Well, that's not all. Paul is also truthful about feeling overwhelmed and full of despair and literally scared to death. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, he tells us, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired our life." We despaired our life. He's honest about feeling drawn to sin. There are many places in his witness found within the letters that he wrote where he talks about wrestling with sin. And one of these places is Romans 7:23-24. He says, you got to go back and read like 22 and 21. He's talking about all these great things that God is doing in his life. And then there's this little word, but. "But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that has me subject to death?" Paul wrestled with demons in the present time, not just the past ones. And then he's vulnerable about his continued struggle with this thorn in the flesh found in 2 Corinthians 12. He never even tells us what this thorn in the flesh is. It's so traumatic to him, he doesn't want to share it. He asks God 3 times to remove this thorn from him. Whatever it is, please remove it so that I can do better as a witness to you, Lord. And God responds to them, "In my weakness, Christ's power is strong." You're going to carry that wound in your flesh with you around, whatever that is, because it's reminding you that you're strongest in your weakness. And then he's also funnily candid. Paul is really funny if you haven't read a lot about him. He is candid about his struggles and how he doesn't think he's that great of a speaker. 1 Corinthians tells us, "With great weakness and fear and trembling, I came to you. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words." I would argue that he is very wise and persuasive. "But with the demonstration of the Spirit's power." So Paul's writing for us is like the perfect, can I get a witness? He has an awesome story to tell of go Jesusing your world. But the biggest thing that I appreciate about Paul is he doesn't sugarcoat or candy coat his truth. He puts it out there and lets everybody know his story. The truth telling is his vehicle to go Jesus his world. And so if you're not willing to tell your story and include all the messy details, the moments that you mishapped, the times that you missed the mark, the messy emotions you felt, the messy faith, the places you lost faith in God, if you're just only willing to offer up a plastic, veneered version of your story, you're not going to be able to help anybody with that. Because all of us can put on an act and give you a plastic, veneered version of ourselves. What God is looking for are some people that will take that mask off and have a little bit of vulnerability and humility about them and offer the real story behind the scenes that everybody doesn't get to see. And I know what you're thinking, because I think it too. Well, what will they think if they knew those things about me? They might not let me in the church house anymore. What will they say about me if they thought I still struggled with X, Y, and Z? Fear is the number one thing that usually keeps us from sharing our story. And the funny thing about that is if you would just come on out and start testifying and witnessing to how God is helping you in your struggle, that shame that you carry over the thing that you don't want anybody to see starts to be just eaten up by everyone around you coming to your aid and talking to you and opening up about their struggles or about how you sharing your struggles helped them share their story. The fear keeps us in chains. And so Paul's way is just not to sugarcoat his reality. It is to let the light of Christ expose through the cracks of our humanity. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, we are told that we are jars of clay. We're earthen vessels of clay. And what we are to do is to allow God's power to shine through us. And that's what Paul did. There are billions of people that have come to know Jesus as a result of Paul's missionary work in person or in his writings. It is proof that an honest, vulnerable, humble testimony will get the job done. And so perhaps you don't have a story that great. You're like, well, I don't even have anything that awesome to share. I don't really have a victory, spiritual or physical. I can't really think of any over-the-top moment where I was awakened and God showed me something. I don't really see any big changes in my life. I've just kind of been steady Eddie. I don't have a moment of freedom or healing. Maybe my life is sort of too boring to tell my story. I'm not good enough. My story is too bad. Maybe my story is too dark. You just won't believe that I'm seeking after God if I'm telling you how entangled I am with my sin right now. Hear me. The truth is, the most powerful story you can tell is your story. Told authentically, humbly, and bravely. When you tell other people your story, that is where the power of Jesus Christ is unleashed in you and them. And so we witnessed this a couple weeks ago when we invited Graham to come up and share his story of how God is using his natural talents to glorify his kingdom. And Graham was nervous about doing this. It was a new space for him. And he kept repeating, God is still working on me. And what I wanted to say to him and what we all collectively feel, brother, God is still working on all of us. God is still working on every one of us. And so we shared his testimony to Facebook, and then he shared it on his page. And this is what he said as a caption. God's been working on me for a long time. I have a long way to go. And if he can change a person like me, I know he can change you too. This honest reflection resonated with people. As of this morning, 4,905 people had watched his testimony. Tons of them had commented about how encouraged they were to hear this. Graham is using his natural talents to go Jesus his world, but Graham witnessing to how he's using his natural talents to go Jesus his world is just another level up of Jesus in your world. And so the point of all this is not to share your great faith or your great talent or your wisdom or your strength or your victory. It's not even to tout your failures or the places you really messed up or the broken spaces in you. The point is to boast in Christ alone. Where I am weak, as Paul was, Jesus is strong. May I never boast except for in Christ and in the Lord, says Galatians 6:14, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so, if for the first time you're maybe thinking, okay, MJ, I might would share my story. I might could do that. I want you to start thinking of your story, your life song, as a tribute to God himself. You show that you are a letter from Christ. You are a burnt offering. You have the Spirit of the living God walking around in you, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. This is what you are. You are a walking, breathing, living testimony of the power and glory of Jesus Christ. And so why not share what God is doing in your life? You become, as Paul says, an ambassador for the world that God is trying to reconcile. And so the truth is, the question is not, are you called or not to share your story? That's not the question. The question is, when are you going to start asking God when and how and which parts of and to who should I be sharing my story with? Because we all should be Jesusing our world by sharing our story. And so I'm not going to ask you to do something that I myself am not willing to do. What kind of a sham of a shepherd is that? And so when I started thinking about how you kind of can tell your story or a way to kind of shape your story, I think it's places in your life where you recognize something is wrong or something is broken or you've missed the mark or fill in the blank, whatever it is in your life that's not as it should be or you would want it to be. And then in those spaces where you actually turned away from that selfish way and you turned to God and you experienced the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. In those moments, it's a process. You're going to go through those moments 1,000 times. Pick one, or pick several, or find one that really sticks out with you when you really found that transformation. And just be on the lookout for somebody to share it with. And so, with great humility, some vulnerability, and some authenticity, I'm going to share a little piece of my story that happened this past week. And this is how you got out of a money sermon. So now, if you appreciate that, then I'm expecting to see some stories shared out in your world. And so, this past week, I have been pretty discouraged. If you're close to me, you realize that. I've had some things kind of happen in my pastoral life that got me a little off kilter. Feeling a little insecure, maybe, and wondering if I am cut out for this work. I've said this before and people just don't believe me. It takes a lot for me to stand up here and do this. I am shy by nature, intimidated by being so vulnerable. It really is a testimony to Christ's power that this is what I do. And so all of this was swimming around in my head. You know, maybe there's somebody else that should be leading this service. Maybe this is not really what I should be doing. And so that's the backdrop. That was like the track that was playing in my mind this week. Okay. So Fridays, I usually spin at 9 o'clock with Linda. I highly recommend it if you haven't. And I'd gotten dressed and I'd went to the gym and I was about to walk into that dark spin room where it was like going to be lots of energy and that collective feeling of working out together. And something just kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I believe it was the voice of God. Why don't you do something a little bit more alone today? A little bit more quiet. And so I was like, it's a test. I opened my bag to see if I had headphones, because I never run without headphones. And I'm like, all right, I've got my headphones. Fine. Okay, so I hit the streets by myself to get a little quiet, if you will. And so I put on my Spotify daily mix number 3. I started my run, and I was off and running. God speaks to me a lot of times when I'm running out in the world. He can just find a fresh way into my heart. And so I had ran over to Porter Avenue, and I was coming up along First Baptist Church, and this song that I haven't heard in a long time by Francesca Balestella, I butchered her name, I'm sure, comes on. He Knows My Name off her Get This, If We're Honest album. Thought that was funny. And so these are the lyrics from the opening of her song. I spent today in a conversation in the mirror face to face with someone less than perfect. I wouldn't choose me first if I was looking for a champion. In fact, I'd understand if you picked everyone before me. But that's just not my story. True to who you are, you saw my heart. And this spoke so deeply into the hurt that I was feeling from this week that it brought me to tears. And I'm trying to hold back the tears right now. I'd been feeling so unworthy of this calling. Like, I keep messing it up and like maybe I'm not fully cut out for it, preaching every Sunday and then doing something that I can't really change. You know, in case you haven't noticed, I am a female, and there's just not a lot of females in this sort of role, especially in church plant situations or pastor revitalization. They're probably 98% male. And recently, someone had shared with me, it was no news, I knew this, that a couple families that had tried us out and were kind of visiting had said, you know, I really just like the 11-11. The music is great. Graham is awesome. I love the little table time. I just can't really get used to being, like, preached to by a girl. It's just, I just can't really do that. I'm sorry. And so all of this is weighing on me heavy. And then the next lyrics cut me even deeper. I don't need my name in lights because I'm famous in my Father's eyes. Make no mistake, He knows my name. I'm not living for applause. I'm already so adored. It's all His stage and He knows my name. And this touched an even deeper part of my humanity. Personally, I struggle wanting to overcome the obstacles of growing something out of nothing, starting this 11-11 service and being a, you know, girl. And so I don't know if you've noticed, we do things around here a bit differently. And some people don't like the way we do these things a little bit differently. And so there's this constant kind of having to butt up against or try to make things okay with people that might not agree with the method that we use to reach Jesus. But in my purest heart of heart, that Jesus in me, we do it because we want to reach people that are not easily reachable for God. We want to do it for people that have been bruised by the church somewhere along the way. I'm not even blaming anybody for that, but might not find welcome in a church. We do it to radiate the light and love of Christ to anybody that walks through that door, regardless of who they are. That is the pure Jesus place in me. But here's the vulnerable, MJ's being honest, shadow self, dark place in me. Somewhere inside of me, along with that desire to reach all people for God, that shadow self is like, it would be so cool if a girl who has no training in growing these kind of things, won't even be welcome to the table of the church planters, could grow something bigger than your typical guy church planter revivalist. And so that's a man's world. And so somewhere I feel like I have something to prove. Like I step into this place and I have to prove my worth. But in an instant, God reminded me and brought me back to the truth with this verse from this song. I don't need to make a name for myself. I don't have to be a successful anything. Certainly not a successful revivalist. I don't need to do this for applause or to have my name in the lights or to be known as some great church planter, because I'm already famous in my Father's eyes. He knows my name. He is all I need. And then more lyrics. He calls me chosen, free, forgiven, child of God, wanted, for his forever, held in treasure. I know I am loved. And so that began to be my mantra for the next 2 3/4 miles running around downtown Ocean Springs. I am known by God. I am loved by God. I'm adored by God just as I am. I am wanted by God. I don't have to prove my worth to anyone. Jesus is all I need. I run by the Undertaker's house right past Baptist Church and I'm reminded quickly, even in dying, I am known and free and forgiven. Even in dying, I don't have anything to prove. My proof is in Jesus Christ. I run by the Hancock Bank. Yes, would I like some more money? But do I need more money? No, because my God will meet all of our needs. I run by, yeah, you can clap. Oh, yeah. Can I get a witness? I run by the downtown boutiques and I would love perfect new outfits with great accessories or fancy living room pillows to match everything. But y'all, I'm a daughter of the King. I'm a part of the member of the household of God. I don't need these things. There's nothing wrong with them, but I don't need them. I need Jesus. I run by a few bars and eateries. I don't need alcohol to dull the sadness of my journey. I don't need food to comfort me or friends to surround me. I love friends and I love feeling comforted, but what I need is Jesus. I ran by Buzzy's, which brought to mind breakfast dates with my darling husband and our children, and the stinging reality hit me, hot tears pouring down my face. I don't even need the approval, validation, or self-worth from my husband. I do not need his adoration. What I need is Jesus. I am already known and loved and approved just the way I am. And there is nothing else that I need but Jesus. I adore my children. They are the apple of my eye. I love to see them succeed. I love to be there when they fail and try to help them. They bring me more joy than I could ever imagine. But I also know what it means to lose a child. And so as much as you think you can't live without your children, trust me, it is the worst thing imaginable, but all you need is Jesus for this life. And then I kept running, and I ran by Glory Bound, which reminded me of Graham Ray and Brandon Green and all the work that we're doing here and how blessed we are to have this super cool service with these amazing artists. It's a gift, but it's not a need. All we need to do is offer people Jesus. Do I like this? Do I like our tactics and what we do? Yes, but I don't have to worry about other people not understanding or getting it because Jesus knows my heart and what we're trying to do in reaching unreachable people, and all I need is Jesus. And I kept running, and at this point, I kind of was taken aback. I was following the thread, and I ran past the Lord is my help, and I heard You don't even need to serve in my kingdom. I want you to serve in my kingdom, and I'm glad you pour your life out for me. But you are wanted and loved and treasured regardless of what you do or don't do for me. I hopped back on Government Street, and I was thankful. I was finishing my run for the day, and I started thinking about how happy I am that God is getting me back into running and exercising. After my mom took her life a few years ago, I got super depressed and fell into a pit that relied on naps and wine and comfort food and Netflix to cope. I had not taken my pain fully to Jesus. But I don't need naps or wine or comfort food or Netflix. I need Jesus to fill this sadness in my heart. I need Jesus to illuminate all my darkness from the inside out. All those places that I try to fool myself into believing I can do it by myself. And as I kept running, it dawned on me that I don't even have to be running. I don't even have to go faster. God loves me just the way I am. Fluffy and not able to zip my favorite jeans, God does not care. I am his daughter no matter what. And if I don't feel so great with the way I look, God does not care. And then I shot up. But I know you like me better because I'm in a better mood when I feel better about myself. And that's just the sort of jokey relationship that I have with God. He knew I was kidding because really what I know is my God loves me no matter what I look like, what I say, what I act like, what I do. Woo! And so at the end of this run, when I got back to the YMCA, I just kind of fell and I was thankful for everything that I had, all that God has done for me, all these earthly treasures he's gifted me with. I'm so thankful and stand in awe at what God has done for me, in me, through me, for my husband and our children and my sister and their family and friends and the calling to preach, this gift that he's given me, talents and creativity and even getting me back into running. I medaled this weekend. I was so excited for the first time since my mom's death. And so he's pulling me out of this self-inflicted grave. And I love all this stuff that he's given me. I love it so much. But I don't love it as much as I love my Jesus. And I don't need any of that like I need a relationship with Jesus. I am known and I am loved just the way I am. All of me, even those darkest parts that I try to hide and he's working on, even the quirky stuff that makes me me, my strengths and weaknesses, my hangups, my fears, my refusal to listen because I'm very stubborn, all of it, God still loves and adores me. And so the song ends with, I'm not meant to just stay quiet. I'm meant to be a lion. I'll roar beyond a song with every moment that I've got. True to who you are, you saw my heart and made something out of nothing. And that's just what God is in the business of, making something out of nothing. Where there was death, he breathes new life. Where there was ashes, he creates beauty. That is my witness and testimony. I was so lost and so afraid and so angry about the hand that life dealt me. But God is in the process of redeeming me and healing me and bringing me through the fire, through drowning in the depths of despair, and literally pulling me back from the jaws of death. You are a good and holy God. And so I leave you with, what is your story to tell? Your story is not going to be my story. Your story is different. But there are places that God has done things for you and made things happen for you and changed things for you. And there's things you're believing that God will still do for you. The most powerful way that we can go Jesus our world is be willing to open our mouth and just share from the depths of our heart, all of it, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your faithfulness in sustaining me through it all. Through it all, you remain true. And so we just ask that you give us the courage to offer all of us back to you. Offer ourselves to be your witnesses in your world. Give us a spirit of bravery to go out and tell the world of all the good that you've done. And will you begin to transform lives through that telling? It is in your name I pray. Amen.
Things in your name, they shall be done.